I don't wear dresses. I pulled up my pant leg a little bit there. Have to laugh at that. You're not looking at a dress-wearing preacher? Amen. Amen. All right. Sometimes we can be thick-headed, and when it comes to spiritual lessons, they are slow to sink in. And our Lord Jesus Christ, who came as God in the flesh, knew about our thick-headedness and knew that we needed help to understand spiritual truth. Plus, he didn't want to condemn people that kept hearing truth over it again and were just rejecting it. He didn't want to condemn them any worse. So he would cloak truth, spiritual truth, in something called a parable. I don't know if you know what a parable is, but I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a story that gets your attention from everyday living that you might be familiar with that has one main spiritual meaning to it or lesson to it. And so today, that's what I want to do. I want to try to give you a parable of our Lord to help you to understand a spiritual truth that maybe otherwise we might be too thick-headed to grasp. Not to say that you're thick-headed, but we all tend to be that way. So I want to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And as I think about the title to this message this morning, I'm thinking about something I heard President Trump say this week. I don't remember just where he said it. I think it was before the South Carolina primary victory that he just won over Nikki Haley and trounced her there. But he said something about winning bigly. And bigly's not a word. But I really like it. It just got my attention. Bigly. And when I think of bigly, I think of a lot of things. Piggly, wiggly, bigly. But I want to preach on how you can win bigly with purposeful prayer. And look at Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. I want to preach an expository message on this and give you three things of how you can win bigly and how your church here, Scranton Revival Baptist Church, can win bigly with purposeful prayer. And the first thing I want to say is by your refusing to abandon your purpose in prayer. And look at Luke 18 and verse 1. I'll read it and you follow along in your copy of God's Word, the King James Bible. It says there, "And he spake a parable unto them." This is Luke writing about Jesus. "And he," Jesus, "spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Now, this is unusual. Usually, when Jesus told a parable, he would just start with a parable, and then the meaning would be explained later. But here, Luke wants to really jump right into it and tell you, even before you hear the parable, the main spiritual meaning. And what's the main spiritual meaning? That men ought always to pray and not to faint. So I want to say, if you're going to win bigly with purposeful prayer, you've got to do it by refusal to abandon your purpose in prayer. And I believe that's brought out in verse 1 by this little phrase, "and not to faint." And not to faint. You see, that is a problem with purpose in praying, is something called fainting. How many of you have ever fainted? All right. How many of you have ever lost consciousness in any way? All right. You know, when you faint or you lose consciousness, you're out of it. And I know something that I would do when I start to lose consciousness. It's like darkness comes on you. And the best thing you can do is get down on your knees, right? And put your head down like that. Why? So the blood will rush back into your head and keep you conscious so you won't faint. And you know, that's a position of prayer right there. And so praying can keep you from fainting spiritually. And therefore, losing your purpose. Because there are people that are men and women of God who frankly have lost consciousness and have abandoned purposeful praying. And if that happens, that's not good. So Jesus told this parable to really cause us to be like a guy said about me one time. He said, our pastor is a bulldog for Jesus. And I thought, what does he mean by that? A bulldog for Jesus. But what he meant was that it's like if you teach a bulldog to water ski, you put the handle of the water ski in his mouth and he clamps down on it and he won't let it go. Even if he goes under the water and he loses consciousness, he'll keep clamped down because he can't let go even when he's unconscious. And he was saying our pastor does not stop. Once he lays hold of something, he stays with it. Well, that's what this story is about by Jesus. He wants you, if you're a saved, born-again person, he wants you not to abandon and lose consciousness when it comes to praying with a purpose for something. He wants you to stay with it, my friends, until God grants you your desire and God grants you your request. And so I'm thinking of an athlete now in sports. Might be football, might be boxing, or whatever sports. And let's say that athlete gets knocked out. How many have ever seen an athlete get knocked out? Okay, you know how that goes. When that athlete is knocked out, he becomes unconscious. And no matter how hard he played, no matter how hard he tried to win, once he gets knocked out, he's out of it totally. He is not concentrating on winning. There's nothing that he can do. And it's the same way with a boxer. If a boxer is boxing and he's fighting, you know, and he's boxing, and then his opponent, his enemy, comes in and hits him with a punch. Let's say he's got his guard up. He hits him with a punch, hits him on the chin. He collapses, and his enemy sees he's knocked him out. What does the enemy do? What does the opponent boxer do? He turns to the crowd and he goes. See, he no longer has to fight. The guy no longer is a factor because he scored a knockout punch on him. And he felt it when he did it. It's like a baseball player when he hits a home run. He feels it many times at the crack of the bat. It hits that sweet spot on the bat. And he says, man, I've connected. And that's how it is, and that's how it is with Satan. He wants to stop you from purposeful praying, and he wants, Luke is writing here, to abandon your purpose, and so the Lord wants to strengthen your purpose in praying. He wants to let you know that your faith will be rewarded. Now listen, it's possible to get knocked down in a fight and get back up and win the fight. Amen? That's happened with boxers. I think of the great Tyson Fury. He got a punch landed on him. He learned in his second and third fight not to fight that way with this guy. Deontay Wilder hit him with a wicked punch and knocked him on his back in the last round, I believe it was, of the fight, a 12-round fight. And he got back up about eight count, you know, got back up and he tied the fight. I actually think he won it on points and he won the next two fights to prove it. But I'm just saying that you can get knocked down and get back up and not be knocked out. And so that is an encouragement to you to pray purposefully. And the Apostle Paul talked about that in 2 Corinthians 4. He said, be knocked down, but not knocked out. And so even though some of you may be knocked down and you've been away from praying with a purpose, I want to say you can still get back up and pray again bigly, and you can win bigly with purposeful praying. And that's exactly what it says in Proverbs. It says the righteous man falls seven times and rises up again. So I want to encourage you, get back and get in the fight again by praying with a purpose. We need that so much. And I was just telling Brother Zukowski here, we have a prayer meeting where we pray with a purpose. And we lay hold of a couple things and we don't let it go. We're like bulldogs for Jesus in this particular prayer meeting. And we pray. It's a men's prayer meeting and we pray. And I was telling him, you know, he sometimes will bring young men to that prayer meeting. And he said, I came at that prayer meeting, I believe that's true of you, I came at that prayer meeting as a young man and it really helped me to pray and become a man. And become a man for God. And I believe that a man is only as good as his praying. And so I was telling him, I said, there's a young man that he brought, and I see the growth in that young man. I see the development in that young man. I see his praying has power because it's got purpose. And so I just want to say, for the first point, if you're going to win bigly by purposeful praying, don't abandon your purpose by being knocked out of it by the enemy who wants to do that in your life. That's Luke 18:1. Pray and not to faint. But the second thing is, if you're going to win bigly by purposeful praying, not only don't abandon it, but remember a parable that the Lord spoke to help you stay with your purpose in prayer. And look at verse 2 through 5, because I'm going to read this, and this is the Lord's parable. I'll read it. And so here we go. Luke 18:2 through 5 says, here's what the Lord said. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now here's a judge. How many have ever been in a courtroom with a judge? All right. Here, so this is an everyday story. We all have some knowledge. If you have never been in a courtroom, how many have seen Judge Judy? You know, you know how a judge is. Now, this judge, this particular judge, was a guy that he didn't believe in God. He didn't pray to God. He just believed in himself. And he was a strong man, and he became a lawyer, and then he became a judge, you know. And in his courtroom, he was the boss. Nobody told him what to do. If people tried to offer him money I'll give you money if you... He'd say, I don't need your money. He had all the money he needed. Get away from me. I don't need your money. I don't need... And people tried to get him by emotion. Oh, man, yeah, I feel bad. Don't give me your sob stories. Don't give me your letters. You know, sometimes people come up to me, Pastor, write a letter for me, a reference to help me in court. And they touch my heart. And I say, yeah, I'll write for you. And I write to a judge. And it influences the judge. I've gone to court and I've influenced judges, I believe, by standing up for somebody as a character witness. I've helped. But I'm telling you, this judge wouldn't care if I was there. He'd say, who's that jerk? Get him out of here. I'm just going to do what I decide. Period. And nobody could sway him. And now here you get this poor widow lady. You know, a widow lady is somebody that lost her husband. That's hard for a woman, especially in that society. They didn't have the support systems. And she lost her husband. She's just a poor widow lady. And she stands no chance with this judge. I mean, if rich people can't get to him, an emotional people, she stood no chance with this judge. And yet she had been terribly mistreated. Somebody had taken her livelihood. What little she had left after her husband. They'd ripped her off. They had cheated her. They were mean to her. They were treating a widow, a poor widow lady. She didn't have any family to stick up for. She didn't have anybody to stick up for. And this widow lady came to this judge and she said, please give me justice. Please give me justice and restore what's been taken. I can't eat. I can't live without this help. And the judge said, sorry, I'm not going to hear the case. I'm not hearing your case. You know, sometimes a court won't hear a case. Sometimes I get mad at the Supreme Court, Brother Bob, because I think they ought to hear that case. And they don't hear it. And I'm like, why aren't you hearing it, you know? But the judge, he wouldn't hear a case. If he didn't want to hear a case, he wouldn't hear the case. And he said, this is beneath me. I don't want to hear this case of this woman. And that was it. And she just had to go and just be like, oh, I'm done. He doesn't care. And people said, you don't stand a chance. I remember one time a policeman got me for something, and I had to go before a judge at Dixon City. And I went and I sat with the policeman. And I said to the policeman, this judge He never lets anybody win. I said, I've never seen anybody win with him. I just was representing myself. But I went there to protest. There was the cop there that gave me the ticket. I said, he never lets anybody win. I'm talking to the cop trying to get his sympathy. That the judge never lets anybody win. The cop talked to the judge. I went before the judge, and the judge says, okay. And he heard my arguments. I gave my argument. He said, okay, I'm going to dismiss your case. And the cop was like, they proved me wrong. They dismissed my case. I was like, good. I was laughing, but went out of there. You know, I won the case. And the judge just said, just don't do it again. So anyway, that judge wasn't like that. He wouldn't listen.
No.
And he didn't care. And she's like, what am I going to do? And so what she did was, he would, the next day after he refused to hear the case, he went to the office. He was going to open the door to get in the courtroom, and there she popped out of the shrubs. And she comes up to him. She goes, Your Honor, please, I need justice. Please give me justice. Yeah. He's like, oh, lady, don't bother me. He went in and went about his day, and he went to eat his lunch, and she's knocking at his door again. Your Honor, please, I need justice. He's like, I'm trying to eat my lunch, lady. You know, I'm hungry. You know, you don't mess with a Zukowski when they're hungry, amen? And he's hungry. And so he wrapped up the day. He's driving home. We'll put it in the modern day. He's driving home, you know. He gets out of his car, and he's ready to relax, you know, put his feet up and watch some news or something, you know. And there she is at the door of his house. How'd she get my address? Your Honor, please. I need justice. This went on day after day. Finally, he's like, I don't fear God. I don't care about any person. But I care about myself. I want peace of mind. This woman is troubling me so much, I'm just going to give her what she wants. And he rendered justice against her adversary, and she got what she wanted. Now that is remembering a parable when you need to stay with your purpose in prayer, when you need to get something from God, you remember this parable. And we have two things that we've been praying for in this church. Number one, we've been praying for America. America was a gift from God. It has a constitution like no other country. It has a founding like no other New Testament country. Israel in the Old Testament is like America. It was dedicated to God. Israel was dedicated to God at Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. And America was dedicated to God, Teresa, on New York City at Ground Zero by George Washington. And we believe that America has gone away from God, and there are systems of evil that are controlling the Congress, controlling the courts, controlling the news media. A lot of ungodly corporations have teamed together to do this with globalist people that want a one world government. And they've teamed together, and they've taken over the presidency. They've taken over the news media. We're in captivity. And we have been crying to God like that widow, Lord, avenge us of our adversary. Give us America back.
They all stick together.
We keep doing it, and it seems like they're so powerful they won't listen to us. But we keep doing it, and we keep interceding. And I'm thinking of the prayer group on Saturday. We've been praying on Saturday a.m. And you know what? Many of the people in that men's prayer group,
they give them power.
With their wives. Now listen, many of the people in that men's prayer group with their wives wound up at a specific place on January 6th. And I'm not going to say where that place was. But they wound up at a specific place on January 6, 2021.
Wow.
Do you know why that happened? I believe because God sees the intercessor And he often makes the intercessor an instrument of his own answer. And they can say what they want about those people being there and being fooled by the globalist and the deep state. But that is not the key to what happened on January 6th. It's like Christ when he went into the temple and he said, there's something wrong here. And that was a peaceful protest in the main for that. And that's what that was all about, because there's something wrong here. There's hypocrisy here. There's lying going on here. The vice president was part of it. The Congress was part of it. It's a bunch of crooks. Crooks. Like Jesus said, you've turned it into a den of thieves. This temple of the Republic of America has been turned into a den of thieves. It's not right. Bribes and wickedness and corruption. And so, like that widow, we have gone to the judge. But who's the judge? It's God. He's the judge of all the earth. And we've gone to him. And then also we've gone to him for a second thing in this prayer meeting. And we have prayed. And by the way, you say, how long is this Revival Seekers prayer meeting going on? It's been going on for about 52 years. And I've been here for that time. 52 years. And I've been praying. And you say, well, Pastor, what are you praying for? Well, when we first started that prayer meeting, we heard about Billy Sunday coming to Scranton. We heard about him preaching and people going down the sawdust trail and getting saved by Jesus. We heard that it was about 1/4 of the whole city of Scranton, that was over 100,000 at that time, walked down that sawdust trail and got saved. And 80% of those people that came forward and said, I've gotten saved, 10 years later, they were serving God in local churches in the Scranton area. That all started way back in 1914 or so. And 10 years later, they were still serving the Lord. But when we came here, we saw, no, this city's been captured by the Diocese of Scranton. It's under dead religion. And Satan is all over this place. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And we said, oh God, we want the old-time Billy Sunday religion here. God, we want to see this turned into a Bible Belt, amen, like down south or something like that. But look, this is a hard, cold area, but we're praying for a revival of the old-time religion. We've been telling that judge that. The judge right up there at the right hand of the Father, we've been telling him that for 52 years. And guess what? We remember this parable and remember the parable, and it's helped us, listen to me, to stay with our purpose. You say, well, what do you expect to happen, preacher? I expect us to reach our Jerusalem. Our Jerusalem, and you can measure it out with the Jerusalem of the Bible, our Jerusalem goes all the way out to Carbondale, Pennsylvania. And thank God, Brother Matt McWhorter is running a bus route in Carbondale, Pennsylvania. That's how it goes. Our Jerusalem goes all the way down south to Wilkes-Barre. We don't need to start a church in Carbondale or in Wilkes-Barre. It goes all the way down to Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And guess what? This guy right here just started a bus route with the help of Deacon Steve Gary down in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Our Jerusalem goes all the way west out there to Tunkhannock, Pennsylvania. And I've been going to Tunkhannock, and God stirred me up Friday to go to Walmart there. And I was giving out tracts, giving the gospel, and talked to two young ladies there, one named Emily and Kayla, and gave them the gospel. And they had to go into work. But what an opportunity that was, and prayed all around that Walmart for Tunkhannock, Pennsylvania. And then our Jerusalem goes all the way out to Moscow, not Russia, but Moscow, Pennsylvania. Wow. And I don't know about anybody going out there, but we need to reach that too. And that's our Jerusalem, amen. And we want to reach that, and that's our purpose in prayer. You see, we're not going to just reach it by soul winning, although we must go. The instrument is often the intercessor, becomes the instrument, right? And what you're praying for, you start doing. And so how you can win bigly with purposeful prayer, be part of that minority that doesn't abandon purpose in prayer. Be part of that minority that remembers the parable of Jesus. That's how you're going to get something done, just like that widow did. And stay with it and keep going before God for America and for revival of the Great Commission. And I couldn't help but think of the Alamo. How many have been to the Alamo? Not many of you, I'm sure. Brother Sarge has been to the Alamo. Karen has been to the Alamo. Amen. Cynthia's been to the Alamo. I've been to the Alamo. And I just want to say to you this morning, remember the Alamo. How many people were there fighting with those brave Texans? 150. 150 fighting in that mission called the Alamo. And Santa Anna came in there from Mexico, the great general, with 1,500 men, and he charged those little 150 band of people. They had limited ammunition, and they held them off and held them off and held them off. Everyone gave their life except just a few women and children that they said would be saved. But they all died there. But Sam Houston's army had the rallying cry, "Remember the Alamo." You know what? I want to be part of that crowd right there. I want to be part of that crowd that will not abandon the purpose to save America. I want to be part of that crowd that will not abandon Christ's great commission. And I want to be an instrument to be part of it. And I'm calling upon you that you would be part of that. And that you would remember the Alamo. And remember this parable of Christ. And so we're talking about how you can win bigly with purposeful prayer. Number three, and the last point, is by your relying upon God's promise to avenge his own elect. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. But I want to call your attention. I want to call your attention to verse 5 and the beginning of verse 6. And verse 6, the beginning, says, "Hear what the unjust judge saith." He said in verse 5, "She's going to weary me. I just can't take it anymore. She's going to wear me down." This is how you're going to get things from God, like what we've been talking about. You're just going to have to stay faithful in prayer and be a faithful worker. I think about Brother Jose Valley back there. He's now bus captain. Amen. And I can remember before he got locked in, I told Brother Zukowski, I said, "Brother Zukowski, what Jose Valley needs, he needs to get locked in. He needs to bury himself in God's work and be just faithful and just be available to God. He needs to be fat, faithful, available, teachable." And you know what? He clicked and he locked in. And I can say that guy is faithful. And God is blessing him. Same way with Brother Matt McWhorter. He's been faithful. He's a bus captain. He's there week after week, Saturday after Saturday, Sunday after Sunday. You can count on him. You can count on him when it comes to being faithful in this kind of prayer. He doesn't quit. He's a bulldog for Jesus. And so I want to say that's how you can win bigly, how you can win bigly with purposeful prayer. And I think of Brother Joe Sobotnik. Brother Joe Sobotnik called me yesterday and he said, "Pastor," he said, I'm having trouble. I said, "What happened?" He said, "I got a flat tire." He said, I was heading into prayer to pray, but I got a flat tire. Now, he said, I couldn't pump it up. I tried to pump it and just blowing the air out. He said, "My son's supposed to come to help me plug it up. And then I'll deal with it from there." And it takes something like that to stop Brother Joe. Amen. Or he's going to be there. He's going to be there for prayer. Why? Because he knows that you're not going to win bigly without prayer. Right. Let me just say something to you. All failure starts with prayer failure. Yeah. All failure starts with prayer failure. And Jesus was telling this parable to help you to remember it so that you would not fail to win bigly by having purposeful prayer, and that you would have that purposeful prayer and rely upon it and be blessed by it and thank God for those that get it. But I'm thinking of Peter. The Lord invited Peter and invited James and John to purposefully pray for him at the crucifixion time, at the greatest time in history, and they failed. They fainted. What happened? They fell asleep. Have you fallen asleep?
Yes, I'm just waking up.
I mean, wake up.
Wake up.
Get up, Teresa.
Wake up.
Stay awake. Anybody else I need to slap? And so, you know, you... You kids don't get this if you do that. But I'm just saying, we are in the most crucial time of our church history. I heard you talking about in your Sunday school class. You were right on. I heard him while he was teaching his Sunday school. He was exhorting his class. We are at a historical moment, and he was right. We are at a historical moment to get our Jerusalem. This is no time like Peter, James, and John to be asleep during the message. Or when we pray, amen. This is a time to be awake and to be here for prayer meeting. To be here when you need to pray. And to do, and Peter failed. Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin in ceasing to pray for you. See, some people are people people. And there's nothing wrong with being a people people. But if you don't talk to God first about people, then you talk to people about God, it's not going to be effective, really. It's just horizontal with you. You're like a water bug. You skim the surface. You need to get deep, amen? And that's what we're preaching about. And so you can win bigly with purposeful prayer by your refusal to abandon your purpose in prayer, by remembering a parable the Lord says to stay with your purposeful prayer, and lastly, by relying upon God's promise to avenge His own elect. And look at verse 6 through 8. I'll read it. It says, "And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith." What did he say? "Lest by her continual coming she weary me." That's what he said. The Lord said, you listen to that. And then he said, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry unto him day and night, though he bear long with them, that cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. I tell you the truth, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Now let me say something. If you're a born-again Christian, God has elected you to be a witness. God has elected you to tell unsaved people how to get saved, and you can be used in saving them from going to hell. God hasn't elected angels to do that. God hasn't elected unsaved people to do that. God has elected you to do that work. And God has also elected you to be a priest. You know, in the Old Testament, God chose one tribe of the 12 tribes to be the priest. That was Levi. And they carried the tabernacle. They handled the instruments of sacrifice and helped people approach God. Do you know that if you're a born-again Christian, every one of you is a priest? That means that you are to pray down God's blessings on people. Are you doing it? Have you abandoned that purpose? Are you remembering Christ's prayer? Are you staying with what you need to be as a priest for God? God said that He's called you to do that. And listen, He says, "I will avenge you." If you do that, if you stay with it, you will be rewarded. Hebrews 11 says, "He that cometh to God, first of all, must believe that He is." My wife said, "Wouldn't it be great if there really was a God? Wouldn't it be great if He really did hear prayer? Wouldn't it be great if He really did answer prayer?" Well, of course, she's joking. He does. Yes. "He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a what? A rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek Him." That is like that widow. You can't just do it a little here, a little there, a little dabble, do you? No, you got to go like that widow did. And keep on coming. And that is what Jesus is saying, and he says, if you do that, I promise you. He said, everyone that knocks and keeps on knocking, everyone that asks and keep on asking, seeks and keep on seeking, you will get what you're asking for. He said, I will avenge my own elect. Now, when we prayed for America, 2016, God did something he hadn't done since the end of World War II. And you know what that was? Kennedy was assassinated, I believe, by America's deep state, not by some other country. It was by America herself, but not really America. Traitors in America who are part of a globalist plan. And who's over that? Satan. And since the end of World War II, we have not seen any kind of real standing up to that in government. But when Trump got elected in 2016, that was God saying, wow, this is what I can do for you. This is what I can do for you to give you an opportunity to serve me here in America, have peace. And right away, the enemy came in and said, nope, it's not happening. And he got impeached twice, and he got all this stuff coming down on him, and then they stole the election. I said they stole the election.
Amen.
They stole it. And some of these states that you think are blue states, they're not blue. They got people in them that know better, but they're not. Their vote doesn't count because they're cheaters in the election. And if you think Biden got more votes than Obama or any president in history, that sleepy Joe Biden, that crooked sleepy Joe, you're crazy. No, it didn't happen. Didn't happen. And so I'm they're fixing to do it again. But after that happened, I called for prayer and fasting. I called our church, and every Monday we prayed and we fasted for weeks. And you know, that was now almost 4 years ago. 3.5 years ago. But guess what? We're still praying.
We're still here.
We're still here, and we're still believing God that he can avenge his own elect, which cry unto him. And you say, well, Pastor, what is the reason why you believe you can see it happen? I've got one reason, and that is the promise of Jesus, that if we diligently seek him, he will avenge us. Now I'm going to keep seeking him no matter what happens. I'm going to keep seeking him. I'm going to keep praying and asking God to bless us and believing God to do it. But I notice here at the end of this, the Lord says, if you look at verse 8, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. There is coming a day, Jesus said, when his own elect are going to cry unto him. And it's going to be the day of the great tribulation. You know what the great tribulation is? It's the mark of the beast. And don't let anybody tell you that Christians won't be here for that.
No,
that's what Jesus is just saying. And he's saying that they're crying unto him during the great tribulation when everybody's taken the mark of the beast, which is to be on the CBDC, the central bank digital currency. We need to get rid of the central bank. Amen. Get it out of here.
Amen.
That's how they're going to control us. And you take the mark of the beast by worshiping the beast. But the elect of God are going to keep crying. And they're going to be killed. And they're going to even pray in heaven. Revelation 6, under the altar. Remember we talked about that, Matt. Matt brought that up. They're going to pray under the altar. And the Lord is going to say, okay, enough is enough. I'm going to stop this. I'm going to stop it. And he's going to turn the lights off. And when he turns the sun, moon, stars off and the grid's going to come down, they're going to not be able to do anything. No. Guess what? They're going to see a big light. Guess what that light is? It's Jesus coming to knock them out.
The light of God.
The judge. Here come the judge. Here come the judge. He's going to come. And before he comes and knocks them out, he's going to take his angels and send them to get every true believer. And if you're one of those believers, he's going to avenge you and lift you out. And those prayers we've been praying will be fully answered then. But in the meantime, we're going to occupy till he comes. Amen. And we're going to keep praying for America. And we're going to keep praying for our Jerusalem, our all the way to Tunkhannock, to Moscow, to Carbondale, to Wilkes-Barre, until this building is filled and we have to have two services on Sunday morning. And when we have two services to handle the membership, what are we going to do? Then we're going to send men out that have been trained to start churches beyond Wilkes-Barre, beyond Carbondale, into our missionary work. And that's what they did in Acts 13. And I was burdened about that. And I told our youth pastor, I said, you know, the pastoral staff in Ephesus, they prayed. And God, the Holy Spirit, had them do mission work. And they went out and planted other churches from Ephesus. I said, we need to pray every week. And we've been doing that now. Praying. Praying. We have a revival seekers prayer meeting. We have a prayer meeting here at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. You need to be praying. Don't be sleeping. You'll be here. Amen. I like that. She's going to be here. I believe her. I believe her. And I believe Jesus. Amen. And this is what he wants. How you can win bigly with purposeful prayer. By your refusing to abandon purpose. By your remembering the parable of the Lord to stay with purpose. And by your relying upon God's promise. So that you will have your purpose blessed as you pray. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. We've been talking about winning.